I take the opportunity tonight to look at, the title is Crisis Pregnancy Advice Centre, but I hope I'm going to really unpack some of the scriptures for us. I'd like us to turn, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13, but I've not been a Christian as long as some of you here this evening, but I've been a Christian a lot longer than others as well. And I don't know about you, but one of the sins of my own generation that's broken my heart more than most, I have to say, is the sin of abortion. And often I've felt, I just don't know what to do with this. I mean, I'm not a politician, don't desire to be a politician. I don't think just political lobbying will do that. But I've been convinced by Scripture that this is really, really a most sensitive and difficult subject to deal with, but we can't hide our face from it. And Proverbs 21 and verse 13, as I've read this over the years, it's always struck me, and I've always felt about the cry of the unborn when I've read this verse. Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. And I've often felt, well, can there be anyone who's poorer, in a sense, than an unborn child, that with government backing and perhaps the ignorance of parents, would be led down a path where that child's life will be terminated? And almost felt the cry, really, of unborn children. And quite honestly, that could have been me. And for some of you, it could have been you. And so that verse has always struck me. And also James chapter 4 and verse 17, I think, is most appropriate for us in a whole range of areas. James 4 and verse 17. James 4, 17 will be familiar to us. But it says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And I guess for myself, and I'm probably speaking for many of us, that on the whole issue, for example, like abortion, I've never felt motivated, stirred up, that political lobbying perhaps is the answer for myself, or perhaps for large sections of the church. I'm not saying that we don't be a voice of conscience for the government, but how can we literally, practically help in such matters? And for many years, I've just not really known what to do with this. But in recent years, especially with contact in the US, which I think they have more of a conscience among Christians about pro-life and the cry of the unborn, as it were, it is more of a bigger issue in the States. But it's also given me access to people who are actively involved in a good and wholesome way with crisis pregnancy centres. And some friends of ours, Lance and Sonia Cooper, who are going to be coming over to speak at this fundraising group which we've got. Lance had told me his story before about how his mum and dad, who were not married, they were students, his mum got pregnant, she was a very bright young lawyer, and she chose to have what became Lance, and sacrificed her career. And Lance says, if that was today, she almost definitely would have had an abortion. And so he came into the world and then became a Christian and got married to a Christian, and the Lord blessed him with five children. And he's felt really, for many years, he's been actively involved in supporting crisis pregnancy centres, and his wife has been an active counsellor on the front line in a crisis pregnancy center in Atlanta, which has turned out to be the fifth busiest in the US. And they say of all pregnant women that come in, and there are at times Christians as well that come through the doors as well, but of all pregnant women come in a crisis, desperate situation, help me with this, what they think is an unwanted pregnancy. In that one in Atlanta that I've visited myself, 93% of the women who walk through the door do not go ahead and have an abortion. And there's one in Douglasville, which is where another friend of mine, who happens to be a lawyer as well, but in Douglasville, and he reminded me of that one. I visited that one in the last year, and they, 99% of the women that go through the door. It's a smaller one. So 99% of the women who walk through the door do not proceed and have an abortion. So in recent times, maybe last, especially last couple of years, we began to be mulling on this. And when we were there as a family in the US a year last July, and hearing and reading about Lance's story again, Maria and I made a decision and really said, well, between ourselves, to him who knows to do the right thing and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. And so we set out to really cry out to the Lord, to say, Lord, we're gonna make small steps for there to be a crisis pregnancy centre in Sheffield. Not really knowing how it's going to happen, not really saying much to really anybody. And I happened to be having lunch with Gordon Whitehead. There's a lot of things with me, with us for the church, and I explained it to him. And Gordon was so animated. He said, I've had this in my heart for years. I can't believe that you are suggesting this. And very swiftly agreed to be a potential trustee. And he is one of Britain's experts on charitable law. And has also graciously volunteered as a trustee, not only giving his full support for this, but to get all the charity commission done for us, which is now in full process. Then there's also Chris Richards. I've visited. Chris Richards is a deacon in Gates at Presbyterian Church, and he's a consultant paediatrician. He invited me to their centre that they've got up in Newcastle, Tyneside Pregnancy Centre, I think it's called. And that was maybe in the last, maybe 4 years ago I visited it. And the key thing for this is actually having an ultrasound machine where you can present, well, from what we're going to do in Sheffield, God willing, won't be identical to Newcastle. That's absolutely fine. But Chris is one of the finest consultant paediatricians in the UK. And he graciously has agreed to be a trustee for us as well until things are up and running. And in the coming time, he will transition off. But it gives us that, professional input, credibility, to really move things forward. Of a registered charity. Well, a trustee would be, in effect, a director of that trust. So the ultimate accountability would be with the trustees, which is myself, will be myself, and it's finally sorted out, Gordon Whitehead, and also Chris. So you'd have the trustees, and then you'd have the, let's say, like a management team. Could be a little bit of a board of directors who then have managing directors over different businesses. They are responsible to the board. So since a year last July, things have steadily moved forward. This is not directly associated with Sheffield Presbyterian Church, but we do believe such a thing is important to have solid, Christian, stable, at least to have one ordained minister on the board of such a thing, so it's not completely detached. Albeit, Ben Franks asked me a long time ago, and he got very excited about it. Before he left, he wanted to design a website for us, which he's now done. And so we've got a website for this, and people have just begun to, I don't know, all I can say is it's been quite surprising. People have begun to just get quite animated with this whole idea. And I have to say, non-Christians have as well. So one of the things that Chris Richards said to me, we need to go out there and try and find where this could happen. And we had a very good meeting a long time ago now with the SOAR, Paul Brown, is one of his businesses there. And it's like a community complex and so forth. And the manageress of that centre, she couldn't have been more supportive. She said, this is really needed, Kevin. And I explained to her, this will be on a Christian foundation where we'd explain a Christian worldview in a very compassionate, sensitive way. And then we would give people, of course it would be free, but an ultrasound scan, which is often the deal breaker. You'll need a professional ultrasonographer. We may pay them to work, let's say, part-time, let's say a couple of mornings or days a week, whatever. But that there would be quality information followed by an ultrasound scan. We don't have control over what decision they make, but the difference with this kind of project, if I use that word, is that this, we would offer what's known as directive counselling, as opposed to non-directive. Does anyone know the difference between the two?
You're actively recommending a course of action?
Yeah, that's right. So we don't rubbish what other Christians do in the UK, but as trustees, we're committed to to directive counselling. In other words, non-directive counselling is where Christians would say, you know, come through, we won't judge you about having an abortion and let's talk about it. But they would not offer a course of action. Whereas we believe on such an issue as a pregnancy, we're not going to just say, this is murder or anything, you know, in a wrong, insensitive way, but we will make it very clear. This is a baby. It's not going to become a human being. It already is. So to offer what's known as directive counselling, as opposed to non-directive, coarsely compassionate, everyone who would be involved would be properly, professionally trained. So this is not just loosing, you know, and they would be Christians, but professionally, properly trained. Doesn't mean they'd be professionals, but they need to be properly trained because this is most sensitive, it's messy work. And really, the aim is, I know this may sound a little bit trite and it's not meant to be at all, and it isn't. But literally, for Maria and I, we believe that there's nothing that is hindering us from saying to the Lord, you know, please help us in this, to save the lives of babies. That we would not, perhaps know the fruits. It's not about primarily about evangelism. Albeit we will give quality information about a Christian worldview. And as Gordon White had said, he said, Kevin, you know, a lady might come in and she might have a boyfriend and different family members. And he said, she may go ahead and have an abortion, but it may make her think next time not to have one. And I think for you and I, we're living out there that in a world that's quite shocking, I think, you know, that a lot of us are not really in contact with. This lady, Hannah is her name, this manageress of this, the store. I said, well, why is this so important? Why is it needed? She said, Kevin, when you're 19 years old, and you come before a GP, you have 8 minutes. And let me tell you, as a 19-year-old girl, it's intimidating. And she said, where do you go to get information? This is non-Christian saying this. And she said, this is definitely needed. And she's kept on reiterating that all the time. So we've actually got a place for it to happen when it's, God willing, the right timing. She also offered that they have a lot of contacts in northern Sheffield with the not the social services, but also with general practitioners and so on. Nothing will happen unless you get out there and be proactive, but people are offering us support and so we'll help you in this. We'll let it be known and so forth. And so we thought really a number of months ago, an appropriate next step is a fundraising dinner that would really, really not so much just fundraising. Yes, it will focus on that, not in any pressured way whatsoever. The Lord is our source and provider for all things, but to give people the opportunity to give, but also to have proper quality information. So it'll be a wholesome evening that we've got. And then Darina found out about it, and Darina's been just passionate about this from the very beginning. So she took it on board to organise the menu. We've booked the Hotel Mercure, which is on the parkway, which will be nice and quiet. We've got it all booked, and she's designed a menu, and she treated Maria and I last night, actually, to try the menu. And they treated us like kings in the hotel, I've got to say. The bloke next, we had a tablecloth, the whole shebang, waiter service. This beautiful meal, every course was excellent. And the bloke said, still to me, he looked over, he saw all the treatment we were getting. He said, I don't know what's happening with you, but I've not even got my dessert yet. So we had a really good night. And I think it'll be a wholesome evening. And Lance and Sonia, he's a humble man, he's a Christian, so is his wife. He's a very distinguished lawyer in the United States. And I mentioned to him, and they're paying for themselves to fly over for that weekend to talk at it and to share their life stories for both of them. Sonia on the front line of pregnancy counseling. Lance, very touching and very appealing people to listen to, I have to say that. Just normal, wholesome Christians who are very gifted. And they've been really excited about Hilltop Chapel and to be able to worship with us in the morning service as well. So I think it's really encouraging that they're coming over. And this will begin to really put this whole matter on the map. But secondly, to give quality information about this, that there is something we can do as Christians. We don't have to, you know, get David Cameron or whoever MP it is maybe to change their minds, that we can literally save lives on the front line. And as Gordon White had said to me, he said, Kevin, If we end up saving one life, this whole endeavour will be worth it. And I agree with him. And someone once, when we were overseas serving with Operation Mobilisation, I remember someone gave this illustration about, I don't know whether it was in Australia or somewhere, but it was a bit of a, you know, this is nothing compared to this, but, you know, thousands and thousands of starfish was washed onto the beach. A bit of a freak accident, and people really concerned about starfish went down and were throwing them back in. And how the men they threw in, there were just thousands and thousands more. And someone said to them, you know, what's the point of what you're doing? It's going to make no effect. And they said, it makes a lot of effect for that one starfish. And I've often thought about that, really. It's not maybe the best illustration, but guess the point, that there is something that I think the Lord is opening up for us to be able to do. Gordon is very good. Let me just say this, and I'll give you one or two facts about what we can do. That's just giving a little bit of a pointer. But I used to say this, and I don't say it anymore, actually. I used to say when I was a younger Christian, not because I was a younger Christian, but things were better with the ethics of the government. I used to say you can't legislate morality. Now I realise that's actually false. All morality and all legislation in one way or another is enforcing a certain morality. And we're in a new season where the governing forces in our nation have adopted a new morality, which is completely against the word of God in almost every point. And so there's great confusion. Sadly, there's a lot of confusion in the church as well, which leads to a lack of moral saltiness, I think. What are some of the facts? Well, today in the UK, this is from Chris Richards. He says that around in the UK there are around 200,000 abortions every year. Now, that will amount to over 1 million babies in the next 5 years. That's a lot of people, and it'll be increasing. And Chris explains that about 50% at the moment of these abortions are surgical removal, and 50% are chemically induced. Now, that doesn't include the morning after pill. No, not every person who takes the morning after pill is always abortive, but it's like a just in case. And if they are, it is abortive. And no one can really monitor the amount of potential babies that are killed through that, and we recognise that when the sperm goes into the egg, it's fertilised, and we believe life begins at conception, even though we know there is a degree of natural wastage from the woman, but that's different to willfully preventing that life, isn't it? And anybody seen the movie Gravity? It's George Clooney, and it's about, well, they're up in outer space and lots of space debris, and it's based on what could really happen. And what happens is all this debris that's up in outer space actually hits the spacecraft. And there's two of them, George Clooney and this lady actor, I don't know her name, but it doesn't really matter. And in the end, George sacrifices his life, and they can't sustain both. Is that... What's that? And he ends up having to disconnect himself from the spaceship, and he just floats into outer space. And in the end, he has not enough oxygen, and he dies. He's dead. And I often, what I've got here, I've got a couple of these, and I want to let you look at them later. These are rubber models I've got from the States. And when you see these, it's heartbreaking. Sometimes when I meet with people, I pull it out and put it on the table. And I say, what's that? That's a 10-week-old baby. And everything is there at 10 weeks. And to think, up until 24 weeks, our government will allow you to cut that life cord, and that little baby floats away from the mother's womb until it just dies. And that's sobering, isn't it? Now, what's more sobering is in the United States, and we know there's backstreet abortions, and we know that's always happened ever since the fall. So we're not being unrealistic and saying, you know, even if you did outlaw it, stop it. But you certainly don't promote it like our society and government does. Up to 24 weeks. It's almost amazing, isn't it, when we think about our society. That, and especially this new Labour leader seems to talk a lot about humanity. I'm going to be interested to see if that love for humanity goes to the baby in the womb, because it's almost as if he can do anything to that child unless he can't put it back into the mother. And that sounds very crude. And sadly, in certain parts of the US, and this is really, really beyond belief, not in every state in the United States, but in a good number of states in the United States, they can kill the baby up until full term and it's born. And I really don't want to open this up too far tonight, but the methods that people use is terrible. I don't know if Sonia will say this when she comes, but she had to be trained properly before she was allowed to be a proper counselor with people in pregnancy crisis. And part of the training they make them go through is to watch an abortion. And she watched it and couldn't stomach it and turn it off. And the centre manager said, nobody can be a counsellor unless you watch it. Because you can't really understand how wicked this is until you've seen it. And she said, I had to force myself. And it marks you for life. And therefore, that's what, like David said, when you're offering counselling to people, you realise in a loving, gentle way, we have to offer people directed counselling. And not just say, well, what do you think you should do? That's not the approach. Let's go just to one or two other verses for us. Genesis chapter 1, we'll know this, but Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26. It's familiar to us, but it just gives a little bit of a foundation and a reminder for us. Genesis 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. I'm not going to really go there about how there's infanticide when people find out it's the wrong sex and they don't want that sex. That happens as well, frequently in our own nation. But the fact is, whether someone's born into a Muslim family, Hindu family, to atheists, or whatever else, everybody is made in the image of God. And this is just a very important reminder for us. We can tend to forget that. But everybody is made in the image of God and is of infinite value in the sight of God. One of the things that happens very frequently, Chris Richards says of those 200,000 abortions per year, he says 100% of the women, 100%, not 97, 100% of the women who have an abortion where the child is surgically removed and killed, 100% of the women come out of the abortion clinic in tears. Because God has created the woman that when something is so violently removed from the woman, the hormones in the woman go crazy, as God has designed it. And he says 100% of the women come out in floods of tears. Now, what's a tragic thing today is that if they find any kind of blemish in a child, the immediate answer for the parents is to tell them, with the intention of saying to them, you know, would you like us to get rid of it for you? Now, that's so unacceptable, isn't it, in the sight of God? And yet this is happening full on, full scale. Psalm 139, which we know, but again, let's just look at it again. Psalm 139, I'm so thankful for the inspiration of Scripture, as I know we all are. Little did David probably know that when he penned this, how this would so help the church in future years ahead. Psalm 139, from 13 to 18, it says, for you formed me, David says, in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Maybe some of you have seen this BBC documentary that's out there at the moment, following the trajectory of a baby from fertilisation to birth, and just the miracle is what there is. I think it's at 5 weeks, Maria, the heart begins to beat. And you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. I just want to just make a very brief comment. It's not really my main thing, but this opens up a lot of ethical issues for us, doesn't it? And one of them is the medical industry is growing at a rapid rate, and IVF treatment needs to be really thought through and sought out for wise counsel for Christians. Because we believe that conception happens, life begins at conception. What they'll do, they'll take a whole range of eggs from a woman and fertilize them all. And then they'll implant some of them. That's sometimes why it's quite common for people to have twins when people have IVF treatment. And then they'll destroy, most often, the others. And I think we need to be aware of this. Because obviously once someone, if they can't have children, of course, you can see the desire. But we need to be lovingly informed as Christians. And for Christians to really think through some of these things. I mean, I don't know if it was, who said it to me, but somebody said to me, when you really know the issues of IVF, we have to be prepared to submit to God's sovereignty in all things, don't we? And God gives life, and if God so wills that, you know, we'd have liked to have seven children, and yet the Lord only gives us one, we have to be prepared to submit to God's will. And I just want to just delicately bring before us that IVF opens up a whole area of ethical issues. Happy to talk about that now or ongoing. We may have some leaflets on that from the Christian Institute. All I'm giving you, by the way, is medically tested by Chris Richards, who gave a fine paper at the Yorkshire Reformed Fraternal at the beginning of last year. So this is not just my own kind of fundamentalist opinions. I'm giving you hopefully godly comments. So we see here that life began in the mother's womb there, which is very different, isn't it, to what politicians say. They want to mess around now with the DNA and develop designer babies and take a bit of this and a bit of that. And I don't want to go beyond all that. All I want us to really focus on is this potential for a crisis pregnancy advice centre, which will, God willing, save the lives of babies. And what's its purpose, this CPAC? That's Gordon likes acronyms. So I'll refer to it as CPAC as a close. We've got to be very, maybe pray for us for this. We're interfacing, of course, with very secular authorities that are quite hostile, potentially, to us, both in the Charity Commission, but also the Quality Care Commission. We have to get their approval. Chris Richards has helped another pregnancy crisis centre down in Wiltshire, and they sat on the paperwork for a year because we can't, before they would give consent, and we have to have that to use the ultrasound machine. So, you know, we're really crying out to the Lord, and Gordon's is an outstanding professional, and so he's framed the words for us, for the trust. And the definition of this registered charity will be this: to prevent regret for women. I think that's wise words. To prevent regret for women. And, of course, beyond that, it's to save the lives of the unborn. And thirdly, it is to educate people with a Christian worldview that pregnancy is not unwanted, though they might think it is, but it's ordained by the Lord, and that there is a responsibility to be born regarding sexual relationships. And we've already said it will involve directive counselling. So, Lord willing, this is beginning to just open up the topic. Even if this crisis pregnancy never got off the ground, which we pray, God willing, it will. But even if it didn't, it's been an honour for me tonight to discuss this with us tonight of a situation that won't go away in our lifetime. And that we could, you know, in all of our praying, cry out to the Lord, that the Lord would do something and turn the tide. And I was very struck. Richard Brooks spoke at a conference down in Leicester, you can maybe night this later, where he preached, and there was a lady there from Christian Concern, and just talking to Richard and Jennifer, saying on the Lord's Day how struck they were and how challenged they were by this lady. That I'm not criticizing yourselves personally, but I think she was inferring that perhaps the past generation have not done as much as they could as Christians, and or maybe non-Christians, but especially Christians, to take action in some of these areas where there's been a crumbling of morality. I think that was something of what she was saying. And So really, just to close and maybe ask you two or three questions before we do close. Yeah, there is a fundraising dinner, but people are welcome to come and they don't have to give. The fact is, it's a wholesome evening of information, of great fellowship, and a great menu, I have to say that. And isn't this great leadership? Someone over this weekend donated £200 so that 8 students can come free of charge. And I think that's great leadership, that, you know, students, I want to invite, for example, Daniel and Julie. Daniel is about to get a PhD in social policy. He'll probably be educating a new generation either here or in South Korea on social policy that could shape whole government policy. So I don't know if you want to come, but people like him or Liam and whatever else. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. So 8 students will be able to go free of charge to be able to really get this information to them. So don't despise the day of small things, the Lord said. So it's about that building up awareness and pray. You can pray. Maybe a couple of people can just pray tonight before we move on to other things about becoming registered as a charity. Pray for the right volunteers. We do need a centre manager at some stage. They could may well be a volunteer to start off with. We don't know. Whoever that right person is, we will send them to the United States. Lance and Sonny have agreed to put them up in their house. And there's a centre in Atlanta that have said, send them to us, we'll train them up for 2 weeks. And so they'll come back here. You know, it's not. The bottom line is that our view is, even though we'd love it to start tomorrow, which we would, we're better off waiting and getting started properly than on a clumsy footing. So pray for the right volunteers and a centre manager. And really, that through all this, we've got an advertisement going up for this fundraising dinner in the Evangelical Times. And Darina challenged me last night as we were having a meal, and she said, we've got already over 30 people coming to this dinner. And Darina said, I wonder how many people come to the advert. And I mumbled, I doubt any, because, you know, you don't get much of a response. And I thought, no, that's not right, is it? Who knows who may read that? My mum's fairly active in talking to people, and she's found it quite interesting response from ladies who had miscarriages, for example, and it suddenly brings up the emotions of that, which is not obviously something they desire, but it just shows the tenderness of this subject. When we're looking for a venue, we looked at 3 hotels in the centre of Sheffield, the Hilton, the Holiday Inn, the old railway station one, and the Hotel McCure in the centre. And then also the McCure on the Parkway. And the McCure was the best one on the Parkway. But the Hilton, the manageress, the lady there, and she actually knows my mum and dad a little bit. And but then she asked me what I'm doing. I said, I'm a Presbyterian minister. That doesn't mean a lot normally. What is this for then? I said, it's crisis pregnancy advice. What's all that about? And I explained to her. And, you know, she was so touched. And again, a non-Christian lady said, this is really needed. I said, why do you say that? You're not a Christian yourself. Why do you say that? And again, she said a similar thing as what people are saying is that is there such a lack of quality information and advice for women. So the response, you know, from non-Christians, and I hope that through all of this, there's going to be a bit of an awakening. Not that we're responsible for the whole of Britain or anything ridiculous like that, but in the people we have contact with, that there would be an awakening of the souls of Christians and non-Christians on this matter, because we dare not close our eyes and ears, in my view. And here, I think, is a possible and a practical way of doing something about it. And all I can say is, may God help us.